Tweet at TodaySOR.
You're welcome back to the programme now. The discovery of an Earth twin and fresh funding from a Russian billionaire have shortened the odds of scientists finding extraterrestrial life. Scientists have been searching for intelligent life beyond Earth for decades, but without success. Sean Duke, science journalist, writer and broadcaster, is joining me now in studio to tell us about these new changes and about how they change the odds of us finding life. Life as we would acknowledge life. I mean, we're not talking amoebas here, are we? We're talking proper intelligent life.
Proper intelligent life, yes, absolutely, that's what we're talking about. So yeah, there's two things that have happened really recently. There's this Earth-like twin which shows that life can evolve on other planets, this Kepler-456b, I think it's called, right? Very scientific name. But essentially the importance of that is that this planet is very like Earth. It has the same conditions. It seems to have water. It seems to have gravity that's not too heavy. It seems to have a lot of sunshine. It's got a 385-day year. It's a little bit bigger than Earth. It's basically everything that we have here on Earth that created life.
Where is it?
It's a good distance away. It's 1,400 light years away. So if there are
1,400 light years away, so it's going to take 1,400 years for any message.
Absolutely, yeah.
A light message.
So even if there are people there, that's the thing. If we discover them, what do you do then? I mean, you might get a signal from a civilization that no longer exists anymore because it's so far out there. Depending on the distances, the vast distances of space. But the thing about it is that there are literally billions of these type of Earth-like planets out there in the universe. Billions. So most scientists that think about the mathematics of this say there's only one possible answer here, that life and intelligent life definitely exists out there and there's lots of it. But the problem is the distances and trying to find that life. It's so vast, the universe.
And can I ask you, Sean, I mean, how will we know when we found intelligent life? I mean, what are scientists actually looking for in terms of signals in space?
Well, they're looking for they can't look for everything. So radio signals, they look for, because they're artificial, if you like. So if you have a frequency or a signal that comes in on a particular frequency at very high strength, then chances are, very high chances are, that's artificial, because the natural background radio spectrum is more diffuse, if you like. So they're looking for things in particular spectrums.
It's been created by some other form of intelligent life.
And there's an interesting story, actually. In 1977, there was a signal called a WOW signal, which was discovered in August of 1977. And this, I think, is fascinating, because it came into this Big Ear telescope in the USA, and a guy called Jerry Amon, who's still around, I spoke to him actually for a programme last year on RTE called What's It All About? Some people might have heard that. But he was there going through the data, and this incredibly powerful signal came in for 72 seconds. And it was at 1420 megahertz, which was precisely the frequency, for scientific reasons, they expected ET to be broadcasting on, which I can go into if you like. But anyway, what they were looking for came in for 72 seconds, then the Earth rotated once and it disappeared. Just disappeared, and they don't know what it was. Jerry Amon himself.
And no theories even? Do they have any idea how far away it was emanating from?
Yeah, they located where it was, and it was several light years, 100 light years away, a little bit further than that. But there was nothing there. There was no planet. There's all kinds of theories. Was it some kind of passing spaceship that sent a signal to some other spaceship, and we happened to be in the way?
Extraterrestrial life?
We're not that important in the big scheme of things. Maybe we just were lucky and it was just bounced through us. So
is that the only definite sign ever of extraterrestrial life?
I think so. I mean, I looked into this a lot, and it's certainly, for me, it's a fascinating one, but it's the only one that's really solid, where they went through all the different things that could have produced those radio signals. That particular frequency that this massive signal came in on, it's not used on Earth, because radio astronomers use that frequency. So it's highly unlikely that it's caused by anything here on Earth. So in it comes the people who saw the film Contact, mm-hmm. With Jodie Foster, where this signal came in. That was the inspiration for that, this event, which a lot of scientists know about, which I think is fascinating, but a lot of other people don't seem to know about.
Tell me, Sean, I mean, that's extraordinary. I hadn't known about that, the WOW boom.
WOW signal.
The WOW signal.
Because he wrote, when he went through the data, which was all paper in those days, he wrote WOW. beside it. So and
beside
he circled
the peak
it.
Or whatever,
so
yeah.
that's how it became known as the WOW signal.
Now, there's a lot of new money has just arrived into this search for extraterrestrial life. It's a Russian billionaire has decided to do this. Why has he decided to put his money into this?
Well, what he says is he's 53, so he's born in 1961, the start of the space race. So he grew up in the Soviet Union as it was then, and he kind of, you know, they also, like everyone else, would have been part of that space race and listening to JFK's speeches and everything like that. And he was about, let's see, what was he? He was 8 years old when they landed on the moon. His parents were intellectuals, Jewish intellectuals that were living in the Soviet Union. He studied physics in university. And then after a while, he said, he's quoted somewhere as saying that he didn't think he was going to be a particularly good physicist. So he got into technology investing. Went to the States in 1990, which was very early. The Soviet Union was just breaking up then. Did an MBA in one of the big schools there, and then started investing. And he got into Facebook and Twitter, various things very early, and made an absolute fortune. So he's worth billions.
So he's almost gone back to his original hobby
or
interest.
Yeah, and you know, this isn't the first time a rich man has saved the search for ET, because politicians don't want to put money into it, because the first thing you or anybody else, a journalist, would be asking is, why are you putting all this money into the search for little green men when you could be trying to solve the homeless problem?
Or like build a new hospital. And what if we don't like the little green men when you do find them? What
exactly.
if it's bad news for our civilization?
As Stephen Hawking, people who are following the Milner, this guy is called Yuri Milner story, Stephen Hawking is backing it, which is really interesting, because a couple of years ago, he seemed to be very against the idea of actively searching for ET. He said, listen, this could be like the Europeans landing in Africa and, you know, didn't end up too well for the Africans, or what happened to the American Indians, because if you have a superior technology meets an inferior technology, you know, it could be a bad result for us. So he actually went further and he said, listen, not only should we not be looking, but if we do get a signal, like perhaps this WOW signal, we should ignore it. Okay. And then for some reason now, 5 years later, he's saying, yeah, this is a great idea. And he seems to, I don't know why he's changed his mind, but of course it adds scientific credibility to the whole thing.
Because that's always been a problem, hasn't it? That even scientists don't take this search for extraterrestrial life very seriously.
Exactly. And if you're, you know, if you're a scientist and you go into that area, people think you're a bit wacky. You know, you're better off going into mainstream science where you'd have a good career. Whereas if somebody's involved in the search for ET, they think, oh, that person's a bit off the wall, and it can damage
and
your career.
They may have a point, Sean.
Yeah,
in fairness,
sure.
You know?
In fairness, absolutely.
Because that's interesting too. I mean, if we do find extraterrestrial life, I mean, obviously we'd all be fascinated by it, and it's a very interesting, it's exciting, but where are the benefits? You know, it's going to be an awfully long way away. It's unlikely we're going to have much interaction with people, is it?
That's right.
If they were closer, we'd know them.
Yeah, I mean, how are you going to get there? Like, even if you take this Earth twin, which is 1,400 light years away, there's absolutely no technology that we know of that could get us there. No way. So we could find a signal that we define as definitely this is artificial, this is a signal coming from ET. And where are we then? We're left for thousands of years of curiosity, wondering what do they look like? Or how.
But I suppose, isn't that pure science, curiosity for curiosity's
sake?
It's
pure science. And that's why it has struggles to get funding as well, because pure science, just for the sake of knowledge, that type of science doesn't get funded as much as the practical stuff, if you like, that's going to create jobs.
But the interesting thing about it, that's, it's very often pure science, which has led us to some of the most exciting advances in science. As people not going, I'm going to discover penicillin. It's, oh, I'm going to have a look at this fungus, you know.
That's right. And you're looking at a fungus or a beetle or some kind of, you know, that it might lead to some new material that you could use in an airplane. Or that's the thing about it. You don't know where it's going to go. But with the way science is funded now, they nearly want the answer before you actually start
the research.
How many
jobs are in it for us?
Yeah.
Sean, this money that this Russian Yuri Milner is putting forward, what are they actually going to spend it on? I mean, is it telescopes or?
He's going to spend it on telescope time, because it's very expensive. There's two big telescopes, one in the US and one in Australia, and it costs a fortune to use these. And they're going to scan basically everything in the Milky Way, find as many planets that are like the Earth-like twin as they can. And once they do that, and then they're going to try and pick up radio signals. And they're also then going to, there's 100 billion galaxies in the universe. Can you believe that? We're in one of them.
It's extraordinary.
There's 100 billion. That's mind-blowing. So they've identified the 100 tiny number that are nearest to us. And they're going to see if there's any intergalactic messages. So these are really advanced civilizations that are communicating from the Milky Way to Andromeda, say, or different galaxies. They're going to try and tune in and see if they can listen in for those as well.
So find the likely candidates, pinpoint them, and then start listening to them and see if there's anything coming out of anything.
And again, it's radio signals. But the one thing that's new this time as well is that we're just going to do more searching, really. It's radio again, but lots more searching, lots more looking, and also lasers, light, because they think flashes of light might indicate civilizations.
And very briefly, I mean, have the odds shortened? Are there actual figures as to the likelihood of us finding extraterrestrial life with this new money?
If you look at the SETI Institute people, which are the Search for Extraterrestrial Life people, one of their guys, Seth Shostak, who I interviewed, he says he put a date on it because I asked him that exact question.
And he says, date on it.
He said by 2040, he believes, definitely have discovered an extraterrestrial civilization by that stage, because we'll have done so much searching by then. And he said this last year before.
Just 25 years away.
Yes. So if we hang around, we might be around.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Sean Jude, that was really fascinating. Thanks very much indeed for coming into us
You're
this
welcome.
Morning.